Oh my God, World Enough in Time, it has happened. Ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to the TARDIS Blend, and I am Greg Davies.
And I am Tom Cheridar over here drinking the bad tea.
I've got the good tea. The one that burns you so that you don't taste it. The pain.
Let's jump. Let's dive.
Well, actually,
into a well of space and time.
We have so much to talk about this episode. Wow. I swear to God, this episode, World Enough in Time, was, I mean, for 40 minutes, it was jam-packed full of information and details that none of us were really expecting it the way it played out. We knew that the Master was going to be there, John Sims' Master. We knew that the original Mondasian Cybermen would make an appearance. We just didn't know how everything was going to fall into place. I think, Tom, that we are potentially watching one of the best two-parters in the history of Doctor Who.
We are certainly watching the best Cybermen story that we've seen since Neil Gaiman had a go at it. We've seen quite a few stinkers.
I would say that this is the best Cyberman story we've ever seen.
I gotta see the second part to assess it. But he made, it's the Mondasian?
Yeah, Mondas Cyberman or Mondasian Cyberman. They're called Cybermen. They're called that because the original Cybermen from the classic series were from another planet called Mondas, which was considered to be a twin planet of Earth. And there are some sources that indicate that it actually used to be a part of our solar system in which Earth and Mondas had this weird twin orbit around the sun, and that maybe it could have been the arrival of the moon that displaced Mondas from the from our solar system and into another area of the universe. It's kind of hard to dig deep into the origins of Mondas because a lot of it is from non-canon material. The idea is that it's another Earth. It's another Earth that just by chance had the same evolutionary qualities that our planet does, where the dominant species on the planet evolved to be humanoid. That's how they fit in to.
Now, was that a Mondasian ship?
Yes,
that they were on.
Yeah.
Now, when I saw this, and as soon as I saw, kind of, I don't know, it was right after Bill was shot through the chest, and I started to see kind of the setup where you've got this enormous ship and it's near a black hole, and I'm thinking, man, I hope they mess with time. This is a perfect way to mess time. And they did, and it was cleanly done. I appreciated the explanation. I saw online that it made a couple people annoyed.
Yeah,
I like it. I like when they do that.
The explanation was actually pretty solid, according to some physicists who enjoy the show. They seem to think that the time dilation across the expansive ship would actually be a real deal. And it doesn't surprise me at all. It's very wibbly-wobbly, timey-wimey, which is why we love Doctor Who. and as far as this episode is concerned, the first part, there was so much involved, very intricate. It was lovely, and I think Moffat flawlessly executed part one brilliantly.
Boy, did he.
Gallifrey Base gave it full marks. Reddit fucking loved it, and so did I. So I'm giving it a 5 out of 5.
Well, I'm going to break with tradition here. I'm going to give it a 6 out of 5.
Oh, I thought we made that verboten. Didn't we make that? Didn't we stop that years ago?
You can add as many additional points onto it. It's just they count as 5.
Okay, so we'll call it a 10 out of 10? Or do you really want to go with 11 out of 10?
Like we can't do 11 out of 10. Okay. It still counts as 10.
Okay, 10 it is. I tell you what. This is my favorite episode of the season by far, and
this is my favorite Cabaldi episode
ever. Yes, I'm in agreement with you there. Well, actually, there's a few others I really like of Cabaldi's. There's a few that you didn't like that I really loved, but I think this is the first time that both of us unanimously are going, "Oh yeah, hell yeah, this is the Cabaldi episode for the ages." I mean, look at the opening sequence for crying out loud. We got part one of his regeneration. That's mad. I don't think they've ever done that before, where they've teased the regeneration early on. Well, he kind of did with Series 6, but that didn't turn out to be the Doctor at all. It was the Tesselector, or the Tesselect, that he was in.
Yeah.
But this was the first time I think we've had the real deal, a real regeneration teased at the beginning of a two-parter. So that's pretty amazing.
What did you think about... Let's dial it back first, because, you know, there's a lot here. What did you think about the talk of Doctor Who's name?
I absolutely loved that. I thought it was fantastic. It's about time that somebody nailed that into the show, because one of the most frustrating things for some fans is that his name's not Doctor Who, it's the Doctor. And you'll hear them say that. They use that voice, too. That exact same voice. His name's not the Doctor Who, it's the Doctor. That's what they sound like. I've always been very easygoing about this. And I've, you know, there's several people throughout history who have referred to the character as Doctor Who. And in the early days, even William Hartnell actually referred to his character frequently as Doctor Who in the series. There's no reason why it can't be another version of his name. Moffat kind of teased it.
Here's the thing is, we don't know.
Yeah.
We don't know, but it either. But here's why I asked you about it, because it opens up Missy in a way that we have not we've hinted, we've seen parts of, but she was like full on with her performance,
yes,
in delivering this and everything else that came after it.
Well, actually, let's talk about performances for a minute. I'm glad you brought up Michelle Gomez, but there was one aspect about the performances that I think a lot of people missed. I mean, John Sim was fucking incredible. Pearl Mackey was an absolute delight. Michelle Gomez was great, like we mentioned. Capaldi was in his best form. Poor Matt Lucas. So overshadowed.
I think he had a couple.
He had a couple of great moments, but I tell you what, I didn't pick up on them until I watched it a second time.
This is a lot of... And there's a lot here, though.
Yes, there is. And that's why he is going to shine when people revisit this episode. And that's really important, I think. He kind of, and I think he deliberately did that. I think he dialed it back a bit just so that his comic relief efforts were there for the obsessive fans that are going to watch this over and over and over again, who are going to find little gems from him in subsequent viewings. So I think fans are going to be delighted with that as they rewatch it. Michelle Gomez. I thought she was fantastic. Incidentally, changing the subject, do you know she does stand-up comedy as well?
I believe it.
I stumbled across a video of her. I mean, she's a bit racy too on stage when she does the stand-up stuff. She's very good, very, very funny. You should look her up, Michelle Gomez stand-up. I don't know how frequently she does it. I could only find the one video, but it's definitely worth your time. Definitely not for the little kids though, folks. That's for sure. Also, Genesis of the Cybermen. Why haven't we thought of this before? It seems to be kind of like the most obvious thing to do in the world.
I just like how they were like, we're going full-on fanboy with this title. Mm-hmm. Go ahead and say it. Let's bring in Johnson.
Yeah, and not use it. And that was very good. And the actual title of the episode, World Enough in Time,
they had to.
Yeah.
It's as tied to... Doctor Who as the word infinite and crisis.
Yes, and
have that, been tied to DC's universe.
Yes, and that's why.
And Secret and Wars with Marvel.
Yes,
and there are many forms of secrets.
And that's why I think they opted to say the title in the episode rather than spoil it from the get-go with the actual title of the episode. It's kind of like the Big Bang. You know how that episode was about Big Bang 2. It wasn't about the Big Bang. The Big Bang was actually the wedding night for Rory and Amy.
Yeah.
And Moffat snuck the title in, the dirty bastard. Anyway,
that was funny.
The title comes from a poem by Andrew Marvel called To His Coy Mistress. The first four lines read, had we but world enough in time, this coyness lady were no crime. We would sit down and think which way to walk and pass our long love's day. So there are some elements from that poem that reflect the connection between the Doctor and the Master. And in fact, there's a few clues in this episode backing up my little master becomes the doctor idea. Remember, I wasn't really endorsing the theory, but for some reason I was just picking up a few.
Did you get a good chuckle when she opened the door and announced that?
I am Doctor Who. Yeah, that was one of the things. I am Doctor Who. I am the Doctor. I am Doctor Who. The other thing that stood out to me was like little lines that the Doctor was talking about when he was relating his relationship to Bill, about his relationship with the Master and how important that connection is. You know, he was my oldest friend.
Why do you want to do this?
She's my friend. She's my oldest friend in the universe.
Well, you got lots of friends. Better ones. What's so special about her?
She's different.
Different how?
I don't know.
Yes, you do.
She's the only person that I've ever met who's even remotely like me.
So more than anything, you want her to be good?
Are you having an emotion?
I know I can help her.
Yeah? Look at that face, he's having an emotion. Yeah.
Yes, look at that bit. Yeah, he's doing emotion.
Oh, leave him alone.
Can I take a selfie with you?
She was my first friend. Always so brilliant. From the first day at the academy. So fast, so funny. She was my man crush.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. I think she was a man back then. I'm fairly sure that I was too. It's a long time ago.
So, look, Time Lords. Bit flexible on the whole like, man-woman thing then, yeah?
We're the most civilized civilization in the universe. We're billions of years beyond your petty human obsession with gender and its associated stereotypes.
But you still call yourselves Time Lords.
Yeah, shut up.
Okay.
You know, he was my oldest friend. You know, little lines like that is like, you could read into that and go, oh, he's talking about himself.
Yeah.
And so I don't know whether Moffat's actually going to have the stones to do something like this that's extremely radical to close off his tenure as showrunner of Doctor Who.
Well, if but we're going to talk about
I wouldn't put it past him. I would not put it past him at all.
If we're going to talk about Brutal would be Zero Resolution, the first of this universe's Cybermen being represented by, you know, the last companion of his run, and not, you know, no resolution. Like, she does not get better.
That, how good is that? That his companion is the first Cyberman.
That's got a sting.
Yeah. And, you know, the other thing about that is that Bill may be dead and be on return. Because as far as I'm aware, no one's returned from a Mondas conversion.
Well, we've only had one episode with this version.
Yes.
So we can, you know, they're going to play with the rules, I'd assume.
Maybe. Now, if they don't play with, now, if Bill comes back and she gets rescued, I'd be happy about that. But if you see the very
beginning, I think she needs to be sacrificed.
If you see the very beginning of the episode, the Doctor is alone, which leads me to believe that this finale is a tragedy. It's not a celebration like Russell T. Davies' closure was. Mm-hmm. This Moffat's gone the completely opposite direction. I think Nardole is either going to be stuck, or he'll become a Cyberman, or he'll be dead. And I just think
he's going to become blue, dude. I think you're wrong.
You could be right about that. Actually, come to think of it,
that's it. That's the only thing that's going to change.
Yeah, I mean that could happen, but I don't think Bill's going to come back. I'd love to be wrong, but
I don't think she's coming back either. I think that's because you know, I was just thinking, death means relatively nothing in Doctor Who.
Exactly.
We haven't had a clean death. We even had like a quasi companion in Clara's boyfriend,
mm-hmm.
who we actually liked and wished that he was the main companion.
Yes.
Go away, and it didn't feel like anything because he felt so expendable the whole time.
Have we actually had a companion in New Who die yet?
No.
I think.
I mean, not in the. I mean, Amy Pond and Rory died of old age.
Well, no, I mean, you know what I mean.
Yeah, I mean, like, River Song
Yeah.
Dies after a long life and a 70-year night with the doctor, however long it was. I mean, no, we haven't. We have not seen a single real, legitimate death that we actually are sad about.
Well, here's the thing. Now, it's not confirmed, but there are rumors going around that Pearl Mackie is on the call sheet for Series 11 with Chibnall.
Maybe she's a Cyberman.
Maybe she's the Doctor.
I don't think so, man.
I don't know about that, but, you know, that's not my idea. That's a fan theory that's floating around.
And I think you're right about the clean break. I think pretty, except for the actors, because that's tradition, and that's, I mean, that's what makes Doctor Who Doctor Who, borrowing the people, the ideas and the people, and that's it, not the continuation storyline. I don't think we're going to see that. I think we're going to get a refresh, but let's talk about that at the end. Man, let's talk about the buildup. You see this kooky-ass old man.
Yeah.
Doesn't seem right, I'm kind of like in the back of my head. I'm like, you know, this seems familiar and different, but like, you know, like I know he's not who he says he is. He's like a dubious nice. We've got John Sims here, and he's he's being like the helpful good guy, and he's gaining Bill's trust. He's sort of talking about it, but he's messing with them.
Yeah.
He's messing with everyone. And we've got a clip where he's talking about it where, like, it wasn't something you really laugh at until after you see the full reveal with the goatee.
Yeah.
Let's play the clip.
Yeah, here we are.
Would you like some tea? This way.
What about him?
It's all right. They don't feel pain.
I think they do.
Yes, they do.
So what did he say they don't?
It was a clever lie, but you see straight through me. Come, tea. This way.
What are those things?
People, they are people.
Then what are you doing to them?
Curing them. Come. Psst. In here. Good tea or the bad tea?
What's the difference?
I call one good, one bad.
I'll take the good one.
Excellent. Positive attitude will help with the horror to come.
What horror?
Mainly the tea.
I gotta say, when did you pick up that it was John Sim? Did you realize immediately, or it was only when he tore off the mask?
I think I saw it coming whenever like the nurse came in and he was getting bold, but he wasn't that bold.
Yeah.
That's about the time I was like, wait a second.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they showed us that he was supposed to be in this episode.
Yeah, I had my suspicions throughout because, you know, one of the things from classic Doctor Who, at least from the Anthony Ainley years of the Master, is that the Master was a master of disguise.
Yeah, and was the tea thing. The tea thing is what gave it away for me.
Yeah, but the line about, you know, when he tore off his mask and he was, said, you know, I have to disguise
the
myself
Prime
because
Minister.
I was the Prime Minister. Yeah, that was beautiful. And can I say, I am so happy that the John Sim Master finally has a beard.
A goatee.
Yes, very
Not
good.
A beard. Goatee.
Now, I've got a question about the Master. Like, how did he get there? Was he banished there by the Time Lords, or maybe he was tasked by the Time Lords to...
He came. He even told us why he came. He heard that he didn't like his future, so he went to investigate. I don't know how, and that would be the bigger question.
Yeah.
How does he know about his future? And here's all the other stuff I hope they actually address. How did he get out of... his last sticky situation because he didn't die.
Yeah,
he didn't. Do you remember what happened?
Yeah, he was fighting with Rassilon, and he faded into Gallifrey, back into the Time War, beyond the Time Lock, and we don't know what happened to him then. We do know that he went missing, but we don't know what happened from there.
See, I think there could be a couple masters in the middle between John Sim and...
I think you're actually a little bit off track with your idea there that he was not happy with the way his future was going. Because remember, with the time dilation, he was down the bottom of that ship for years with Bill, who would have had years of time to explain to him who Missy was. And he would have caught on and go, that's me from the future. And I don't like this because she's working with the doctor. So that's what I'm kind of thinking. So my question is, how did he get
on the Mondash ship? So it was just a happy accident that they showed up.
Yeah, well, that usually
a coincidence.
That's usually what happens.
Now, what does the doctor say about coincidences?
Don't believe them unless you're too busy.
Okay.
Yeah. So we'll see how that pans out. But I was wondering, seeing as the name Genesis of the Cybermen title was invoked during the episode, whether the Master was actually tasked by the Time Lords to stop the Cybermen from starting, as they did with the Doctor in Genesis of the Daleks, for the Daleks.
Did not sound like he was trying to stop them.
No, of course, he betrayed them more, you know, explaining, you know, why he played along, maybe. I don't know. Because really, you know, the Master is, especially the John Sim Master, is very... is very much like a Loki version of Moriarty. He's the trickster version of the Master.
You know? I really enjoyed it. It was nice to see him as he appeared in David Tennant's run.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Like he didn't like, oh, lots changed and I'm a little bit different and you know, like he was like full force. He was brilliant. I just really like this episode. But
this is going down the path that I predicted last week, in that this test is not only a test for Missy to see, to show the Doctor that she's good, but it's a test in which she has to face herself.
Yeah.
You know, and that was made very clear by the Next Time trailer too, which we'll also talk about a little bit when we get to it.
We've got the relationship with the Doctor and the Master. We can kind of see what's what. There was one thing that was mentioned at the end where this is now the second time the Master, Missy, is responsible for hurting the Doctor by sacrificing a companion. But he doesn't remember what happened with that full elongated history. And what's worse is Missy doesn't know. She's starting to slowly remember and realize. But now we've come about and we see Bill as the first Cyberman.
Yeah, everything's coming full circle. And really, this is all the Doctor's fault, really. I think he's going to punish himself for it. I think he's going to take this whole thing really hard. It's certainly I mean, this whole episode was just a visual epic, really, when you look at the messages coming across. Like, Bill's fall, I mean, after she'd been shot and there's that shot where she's slowly falling down, what a cinematic masterpiece that was. You know, the creepiness of the patience and you know, the BB-style counter clock in the lower levels of the hospital so that they could keep track of the time dilation. And just all these visual things were great. Like the sonic screwdriver as a dry erase marker. How amazing is that?
I was going to say, I really appreciated all of the various uses, just kind of cool factor that they've used the new sonic screwdriver. I told you it was going to take a little while.
Yeah.
But I love this Sonic.
Yeah, it's very good.
I'm obsessed with it.
Yeah.
It's hanging on my wall, Greg.
Yeah, I'm digging the new one.
Just in case.
Well, you need it there just in case the Doctor comes by and needs to use it, you know?
Want to know why I put it there is because my dog hates the noises, and there's four of them now. So if he ever, pops off.
There must be a higher pitched frequency that's also involved in those noises that we can't hear that the dogs can hear, I guess.
So
very strange.
So, but here's the thing. What I'm saying is the companion that I was thinking of was Katarina, and the episode, I think it was Dalek related something. It was a TV. It was one of the Classic Who episodes.
Yeah, I think I know what you're talking about. Let me see if I can pull this up here.
The Dalek's Master Plan.
Yes. It was the first Doctor. It was the first time that a companion died. And I think the next death we had was Aldrich during the Fifth Doctor's era. Yeah, that's just... Now, how did Aldrich die? I'm thinking that may have had something to do with the Cybermen too, if my memory serves correctly. Yeah, it was. Yeah, he was. He died in a battle against the Cybermen. So this is going to be, if Bill dies, this will be the second companion he's lost to the Cybermen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it hits a little home. It's a violent death. If Bill stays dead.
But how emotional was that scene though? When she came out and. I am Bill Potts, and they got the voice down too. I thought it was cool
how they just waited, dude. Mm. The whole stage, everything, the pain, the dials, the body bags.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, was that a new addition that they're basically just walking bags of pain?
Yes. Because we knew that the Cybermen, both from this universe and the parallel universe, the Cybermen. Have devices that regulate emotion or suppress emotion. And the reason that we find out why they're suppressing emotion to begin with is because they're in constant pain all the time. It's very, very morbid, very Darth Vader-esque too.
I feel it more than watching, because, you know, we saw the Cybermen come back and then Torchwood kind of expanded on that process early on.
Yeah.
With an episode showing kind of a more detailed backwards process of an almost completed, you know, cyber woman, I guess.
Yeah.
But this, I don't know, this one just made me believe it more and understand kind of more of the why would anyone do this? How did this come about better than the other ones? But I got to tell you, what surprised me more than anything, Greg, is that I saw it. A couple glimpses of the new universe Cybermen in the next episode preview.
Yes. Now, we need to clarify this, because what this episode reveals is that nearly every Cyberman episode during Stephen Moffat's reign has now been confirmed as being part of the Mondas Cybermen, because the model that we see in Nightmare of Silver, which was the newer model, and the earlier models before that that didn't have the C logo on them, indicates to me that they are from Mondas. And so the running theory among some fans is that at some point during the Mondas Cybermen history, they crossed paths with the Cybermen from the alternate universe and either destroy the other or unite together, something along those lines. Share the technology, if you will, because they're basically all Cybermen. So the idea is that we're going to see a rapid acceleration of Cybermen, but that also implies that there's an element of these first new Cybermen that show up on this ship that must escape from the ship somehow, because we see them.
Yeah,
we see them
Earth,
in, yeah, we see them in other episodes. Well, is it on Earth? I don't know.
Mondosia.
You need to remember that the ship, the expanse of the levels, as we saw at the beginning of the episode, there's like full-on environments in there.
Yeah.
So that's true. Yeah, so it could well be on the ship. Anyway, we're looking at the genesis of the Cybermen here. I'm really curious to see how it's going to play out. I'd love for the other classic design of the Cybermen to come out. The design that was used the longest from like 1968 to 1989, the whole silver Nemesis look. I'd love to see a few of those dudes show up, just even as a cameo. Kind of like a bit of a tip of the hat to the, if you remember Asylum of the Daleks, there was a great tip of the hat to classic Doctor Who by bringing in the original Daleks there.
Yeah.
And that was a nice little tip of the hat, and I'd love to see that pop up along the way too. The other thing I want to remark about here is I'm going to credit Mark Gatiss for the genesis of this episode, and I'll tell you why. For years, Mark Gatiss always wanted to do an Ice Warrior episode. He kept pestering Moffat about it. Moffat was always reluctant because he felt that the Ice Warriors on the classic show were clunky and old and fake, and you couldn't recreate it in modern Doctor Who. And Gatiss eventually came up with this great story that proved Moffat wrong, and he embraced it. I think we're seeing a similar thing here, where Moffat's turned around and go, you know what, if we can do the Ice Warriors, we could bring back the original Cybermen.
Yeah.
Listen, we mean you no harm. We're just passing through. We're looking for Bill Potts, friend of mine.
Bill Potts?
Yes, Bill Potts. You're a Cyberman. You're part of a neural net. Can you find her?
I love disguises. Do you still like disguises? Of course, they are rather necessary when you happen to be someone's former prime minister. Accessing.
Come back for me.
Bill Potts. Locating. Bill Potts. I am Bill Potts.
Hello, Missy. I'm the master. Very worried about my future. Give us a kiss.
Bill? Bill, talk to me. What have they done to you?
Operation Exodus. Whatever that is.
Yeah. You can tell that... Like, I always wondered, like, why... You and I would sit here and go, why did you seriously waste the Cybermen of all villains on like, a cameo episode with... James Corden. Like, what the heck was that about? Like, stuff
right,
like that.
Right.
Everything makes sense because he's always just wanted his Cybermen.
Right. And the thing is that, and this is also a criticism leveled at the Daleks as well, is that if you're going to do a Dalek episode or a Cybermen episode, hell, you could even throw the Weeping Angels in there, and I guess you could throw the Monks in there now too, seeing as Moffat's kind of established them as a great villain as well. If you're going to use them right. You know, don't use them as a throwaway villain for an episode, because when it's revealed that they are the villain in the episode, the audience is supposed to go, oh, shit, how are they going to get out of this one?
Yeah.
You know, and we've kind of lost that with the Cybermen over the years. And finally, we have an episode like this, because I have no idea at all how the Doctor is going to get out of this one.
Yeah.
Pretty remarkable writing, I will tell you that much.
Fantastic. You know what I want to know, Greg?
Mm.
Are we going to get any answers about the fate of Gallifrey and the Counselor or the Council rather, and you know, any of the Gallifreyan leadership?
Well, we know that Rassilon survived his encounter with the Master because we saw him last season when the Doctor returned to Gallifrey. And he was banished from the planet. He'd regenerated from the Timothy Dalton dude into the other old dude. So we know that he and members of the Council had survived. And then, of course, the Day of the Doctor happened. And we discover later on that the Gallifreyans had essentially rescued themselves from the pocket universe that the Doctor had created. But they had to place themselves near the end of the universe just to survive. At the end of the universe, meaning the end of time in the universe. So the only thing I can think of is that somewhere along the line, there's going to be a fix for this. There's going to be Gallifrey is eventually going to be restored at some place in the universe. In some way or form, it has to.
Yeah.
Mm.
Well, I'm excited. I just thought this was brilliant. Man,
yeah.
I just...
What a great episode, huh?
I mean, this, really this is like, amazing. We're pretty speechless. We should go back and watch that last episode that we see, John Sims Master. That's my recommendation.
Oh, for The End of Time?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good one. Very, very good. I want to remind people, Crystal D and the Doctor Who fan show, the official Doctor Who channel, she did a great episode this week. Wonderful as always. We should try and reach out to her, see if she wants to do an interview on TARDIS Blend or something.
Yeah.
I mean, that'd be pretty fun. All right, let's look. What about the Next Time trailer, mate? What did you think about that?
Incredible. It looks like we're going to see Missy having you know, a little bit of conflict of conscience.
Yeah.
You know, it looks like she's kind of back and forth a little bit, and it'll be interesting to see which side she falls.
Well, the episode is called The Doctor Falls, which seems to imply that it is a tragedy, as I'm suggesting. The one key thing that I would hope that there's a glimmer of hope at the end of the episode in the form of, I don't know, something nice happening, like Nardole at least gets to fly off into the distance doing something, or maybe the Missy does regenerate into the First Doctor or something. I don't know, because it's a tragic situation for the Capaldi Doctor, but it would be nice to have a glimmer of hope at the end there. Maybe we'll get a bit of a clue as to what's going to happen with the Christmas special. So I guess we'll wait and see how that goes. My classic Doctor Who recommendation, I'm actually going to make two recommendations this time. The Tenth Planet, which is the first appearance of the original Mondasian Cybermen. That was when they first appeared. It's a very clunky suit that they wear. But I tell you what, Tom, it is absolutely remarkable and amazing, the level of effort that went into the design of these characters for this new episode that we just reviewed. Considering how clunky the original costumes looked, I mean, it's just amazing how well they made them and how creepy they looked in the modern era. Fantastic work. So go and check out The Tenth Planet. And of course, go and see The Genesis of the Daleks. I mean, we're witnessing The Genesis of the Cybermen here. Might as well see that because it's a great episode. It's always worth recommending. And it's definitely one of those first episodes of Classic Who that you'd recommend to a fan who's interested in diving into Classic Who, absolutely, without a doubt. Okay, comments, Transmet Trev. He says, important information, this is 5 days ago, all of your listeners must check out the Saturday night after show live Q&A broadcast on the official Doctor Who YouTube channel. I think the reveal will happen then. Saturday night, be there, betcha. I think he's talking about who the new Doctor is going to be.
Yeah.
I'm not sure about that.
I think they're going to keep us in suspense. I mean, there's a lot of months between, the end of next week's episode and Christmas.
Yeah. And his second comment, you're not going to believe this, Tom. He matches your rating again. Exactly. 6 out of 5.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. 2 weeks in a row. You guys think alike. You just watched the latest episode, 6 out of 5. What a brilliant lead up to what promises to be a really exciting finale. I could have lived in that world all night. Sim's characterization was faultless as the Master, and the revelation was superb. Poor little Pearl ending up as a cyber after only one season, but what a memorable ride she had, be it all too brief. Also, the CGI boys, the visual department, Mr. Gold's score were first class. Absolutely, I agree with you there, Trev. That's so true. I'm so glad to see Stephen Moffat stepping up to the mark for his final fling in the Hooniverse for now. Nice one, Stephen. Bring on the biggie. Thanks, Trev. Appreciate it, mate. And that's basically it, folks. We've got a week to go until the Doctor falls, and I can't wait. I tell you what, I'm super pumped for the episode, and I really do hope they do reveal the next Doctor in the next episode. I'd be so pissed if they teased that regeneration and like closed off the episode with the regeneration without the regeneration finishing for us. That would be dirty.
Well, I think they're going to do that. Yeah. So.
You think they are going to tease us like that? They're going to skip it to the...
I absolutely expect it to begin and that to be woven in. It's a very dark subject and a very dark way to end Capaldi. And we also know Christmas specials are not dark and depressing. And so if it is tied to it, think about it. Now, we've already seen this probably far too many times, but it's a Christmas story. We can see the various versions, the Christmas past of the Doctor. Maybe the Doctor becomes the Scrooge. We don't know.
Yeah, there could be a lot of different things here.
But I expect it to happen.
So you're expecting no revelation of the next Doctor?
No, I'm expecting absolutely nothing.
That's interesting. Yeah. I'm kind of hoping that we do see the next Doctor. It would be a real pain in the butt.
Take away from Capaldi's final hurrah.
Yeah, well, see, the thing is, like, there's an aspect of tradition with the Doctor, that you always get to see who the next Doctor is when there's a regeneration.
Well, maybe the regeneration hasn't fully baked, is what I'm saying. You know, we've seen it. Now, you know, David Tennant's, how long did that one go on? You know, he could go and see all of his past companions.
Yeah, well, it's Matt Smith's doctor implied that it was years before he died.
Oh, that's, you know, that's true.
So, you know, there could be a lot of different factors there for David Tennant's regeneration. Still, I think we're going to see it. I think we're going to see another doctor. If it's Hayley Atwell, I'll be over the moon. If it's Pearl Mackey, I'll be mixed feelings about it. But I tell you what, it's going to be
another
amazing.
Old dude who's white. What do you think?
No, I don't know. I don't care. I think whoever they've chosen is
eventually we're going to get one.
Yeah,
you know that.
Yeah, Neil Gaiman once said that, you know, when we find out who the new Doctor is, there's always a feeling among fans, oh, that's not the Doctor. That's not the Doctor. But the more you journey with them, unmistakably, they become the Doctor. And there's no mistake that person is the right choice for the Doctor. So I guess we'll see how that pans out. I'm really pumped. I'm looking forward to it. And I hope we do get a big reveal at the end of the next episode. I'm looking forward to it.
Same here.
Yeah. All right, that's it for us, folks. We'll catch you next week for our review of The Doctor Falls, which is going to be episode 110 of The TARDIS Blend. We will catch you then to review the season finale of Doctor Who. Catch you then, and Billy Gow. And then, you know, excuse me, my dogs are having a negotiation there.